Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast, or should I say, white t-shirt podcast, if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook. But if you're listening, you might have to look on YouTube to understand what we're on about. Welcome back to the podcast. It is a Friday, which means we're here for a Forest preview and another big game as Forest enter the final stretch in their bid to survive in the Premier League. And for Friday brunch, no more Dave. Well, still Dave, hopefully in the next few weeks, but not again today. His agent was charging too much. So who better to call off the magic substitutions bench for a last-minute VAR dodgy winner than Mark Turner, all the way from America, bright and early, 6 in the morning. Here he is. How are you, Mark?
Just call me Divock Origi. Oh, wait, no, don't do that.
Chris Wood? Chris Wood could be the more starter. Maybe Tywo.
Oh, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Last game of the season, Tywo off the bench, last 15 minutes, scores the goal that saves Forest. That'd be fantastic.
Do you know the white t-shirts really are similar? Apart from you've got the great man Cluffy on there, haven't you? I don't. Mine's just a plain white tea. It's like White Tea Friday or something. We'll call it that instead of Friday brunch. If you are watching on YouTube and Facebook today, we are live, so be sure to get your comments in, and we will discuss all things Forest Wolves throughout. And feeling a little bit more positive at the moment, Mark, than I probably was last Friday when we did this. Yes, it was a bit of another disappointing result to Tottenham. Yes, we lost, but there was a few positives. And you've got players like Chris Wood in form, and you just feel like tomorrow, I really hope the atmosphere is going to be kind of rocking again at the City Ground, but just another huge game that Forest face tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the atmosphere at the City Ground is going to be anything other than rocking. It's a very winnable game against a team that we obviously drew with earlier in the season. And for those with long memories, you might recall that Forest really had the better of that game at Molineux. And were it not for the woodwork and Harry Toffolo finding himself in some unexpected positions and therefore, being the best chance for us to score and win that match, had it been Tywo or Chris Wood in those spots, Forest may come away with all 3 points. So I think the crowd have to be up for it tomorrow. I'm sure they will be. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Forest 3 points.
Wow. God, we're feeling positive today. We're feeling positive. We were just actually touching on, weren't we, Mark, before we came on air, that as I was literally just getting my laptop out the drawer and ready to record this podcast, I'd lost my house keys this week, and it was a nightmare, and the stress of getting them another one caught, and a long story short, and there my key was sat there with the laptop ready to go. It was like Mark has brought the positivity and the good luck today. So maybe that will continue into the Forest game tomorrow.
We perhaps should spend this podcast just talking about your key. That would be
maybe we do.
Be a more exciting roller coaster of a narrative, but
I was going to say, yeah. Well, it is difficult to talk about Forest at the moment because, even though there's something to play for, it's not like we'd much rather be a mid-table established Premier League side at the moment and going for a nice, easy finish. We're not, which does make it a little bit entertaining, but you feel like you're talking about the same things constantly. Set pieces, slow starts, VAR decisions. It's just like Groundhog Day every single day.
Let's focus on Wolves for a second then, because I think they fit the definition of what you just described. A mid-table team with nothing to play for. Oh, the luxury, right? Oh, to be Wolves. I mean, they are 11th right now, so they're smack bang in the middle of it. There's no chance really they get I guess it's a very, very long shot, but really no chance of any European involvement. Obviously not in threat of relegation. And I mentioned, I think, Max, in a previous podcast, how Wolves feel to me a lot like Fulham, both in terms of the way they play, the fact they have some bright sparks on their squad. They can pull out a fantastic result, but they also can flatter to deceive. And it's interesting, they are, I think, about 3 or 4 points apart in the league, have almost exactly the same goal difference. I think Fulham sit two places below Wolves, essentially in the same situation. So it'll be interesting to see how Wolves approach this game. And of course, we have the added spice of Nuno as well.
Yeah, and I think that will add something. His former club and Wolves fans, any Wolves fan you speak to speaks incredibly highly of Nuno compared to when you speak to Tottenham fans. It's a little bit different, but when you speak to Wolves fans, they'll always be grateful for what Nuno did for the football club.
Oh, I see what you mean. When you said they speak highly of Nuno, I didn't know if you meant they talked about him in glowing terms or just raised the pitch of their voice. But
you've done me there, Mark. That's funny. That's thrown me off.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. For a Friday, it's nice of you. But yeah, I mean, it will certainly add something. I think Wolves have been almost a bit of a surprise factor this season. People tip them for relegation, particularly with, you know, Julian Lopetegui leaving at a very strange point of the season. There was turbulence off the pitch. Gary O'Neill comes in, no disrespect to him. He's had one kind of proper manager shift almost at Bournemouth. And he's proved Bournemouth maybe wrong in getting rid of them. And Wolves have done well. And they're a side that will certainly probably be looking at not getting revenge on Nuno. I don't want to kind of say that, but almost it adds something to it. And they'll certainly be up for it tomorrow, even though they've got nothing to play for. And remember that Forest Wolves, they've had a little bit of rivalry in a way the past few years.
Yeah.
Certain cup games and Morgan Gibbs-White and kind of all situation around that too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking at their record in the last five games, without getting too nerdy, they only have one win in the last five, which is, of course, similar to Forest's record, although we're in a slightly more precarious situation, which is muddied even further by, you know, the crazy points deduction scenario, which just seems to be spiraling out of control at this point. It seems to be impacting both the Premier League and ultimately the Championship as well, because of the teams that are now in the mire, looking at Sheffield United now getting caught in that, Leicester, of course, in the Championship, and with hopes of coming back up to the Premier League. So the whole thing's a bit crazy. And I know Nuno spoke to that this week and talked about how mad it was. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And obviously with Everton now getting their two-point deduction, Forest still waiting to hear on their appeal in regards to their 4 points. So everything's up in the air. But at the end of the day, it comes down to two teams on a field tomorrow at the world-famous City Ground. And can Forest get it done?
Yeah, exactly that. And Nuno there actually talking in his press conference this week about it being a situation he's never, ever been in before and the uncertainty it's causing for not just Forest, for not just Everton, but for everybody else. If you're a Luton fan, you might at the end of the season think that Luton are safe and then all of a sudden Forest get points back after the final day and Forest are safe and Luton aren't. That would be an incredible situation, never seen before, really. And that is the problem, isn't it, Mark? You know, I can remember when we talked actually after Forrest got that points deduction on the famous Monday evening. Always remember the date. And me and you kind of touched on how it was just it's just the uncertainty surrounding it. And this isn't just a football point of view. If Forrest, you know, get relegated and we don't get any points back and not almost blame this points deduction, but of course it plays a part in it. The fundamental part of the football club is impacted in terms of an off-the-pitch sense with job losses and revenue being cut and certain things to do with media exposure. And it has such an impact on football clubs. So for the Premier League not to announce the decision of the appeal until the end of the season, it just creates simply a mess, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, you nailed it. I don't really have too much to add to that. I think there's a community-wide impact on Forest getting relegated. And, you know, we've seen teams come back, bounce back immediately, and it's all well and good to feel like that the Forest would do the same. But we know the last time we went down, it ended up being a generational stretch almost. So I wouldn't want to see that happen to our team again, if at all possible.
I'd be your age, Mark, by the time that Forrest got promoted again. What's that? 50s, 60s?
Oh, well, there you go. Way to get your own back. I appreciate
exactly.
that.
23 years. I might still be hosting the podcast then. You never know. God, that would be a long stretch reporting on Forrest. Let's touch on some other news that happened this week before we look a little bit more into the game in detail. Taiwo, it was reported by The Telegraph this week that Taiwo is set for a return for Forest in the next few weeks. doubt he'll be available at all at the weekend. But when we look at maybe the Everton and the City game, there's potential for him to feature on the bench. And it's an interesting one, given Chris Wood's form at the minute. I've actually got a stat that I need to pull up, and I haven't made a note of it, but Chris Wood has the best shot conversion rate currently in the Premier League.
Right.
And I think it's the record since the 2011 season. I do need to check it. I'm going to check it while you answer the question in a minute. But when you've got a player like Taiwo coming back, and who has been, you know, so instrumental to Forest, but in a way, you've got almost a player, Chris Wood, that's in form at the minute. But it will still be a positive for Forest to have him on the bench and have him as an attacking option, given Forest need to simply win games and score goals to stay in the Premier League in the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I saw a comment online, I don't know where, but I saw a Forest fan asking the question, you know, how have we gotten to a situation where Forest really only have one recognised striker at this point? You know, Divock Origi, he definitely contributes, right? So I don't want to beat up on the guy, but I don't really know what he is. I don't know if he's a wide attacking forward, if he certainly doesn't seem to be a number nine. So when you're looking at somebody that leads the line, that is an out-and-out focal point for us in attack, Chris Wood is it right now. Which is more than concerning given the spot that Forest find themselves in. So for Taiwo to come back and be available off the bench, and as we discussed last time I was on the pod, Max, I think that's where we both put him, right? If Taiwo comes back and he's available this weekend, I would absolutely not dispose Chris Wood. For me, he's in the starting lineup. You bring Taiwo off the bench with 20, 25, 30 minutes to go when hopefully the Wolves defence is flagging. And you bring him on to play alongside Chris Wood, or, you know, as a switch for Chris Wood, whatever the situation dictates. But to have him back is very exciting. Again, I've seen some Forest fans kind of poo-poo Taiwo and the impact he has with the team. You know, those with very short memories, the goldfish among us. Taiwo is a fantastic player, and he brings pace and power to the forward line like no other player on our squad. So to have him back, to have those attributes back and available to Nuno this weekend is going to be really important. So I hope we see him return.
Taiwo will be like Dave Asprey returning for Friday for the Friday pizza next week. Oh, Mark, and
you might in glory, in glory. See,
you've just done it again now with your alarm like last week. just to pull up that stat on Chris Wood, he has the best in the Premier League in terms of shot conversion rate in Premier League seasons since 2010 to the 11 season, a conversion rate of 41%. That's 12 goals. On the list alongside him was Joe Willock. Joe Willock in 2020-21. Then there was Patrick Aubameyang in 2017-18 with 32% and 10 goals. So Chris Wood with the best Premier League conversion rate for the first time since 2020 and the best since 2011. So, I mean, an incredible stat. And, and often players, in terms of stats like that, might get overlooked because of the likes of Haaland and Nunez dominating the headlines in the Premier League. But he has been so instrumental to Forest and been vital for sure. Wanted to touch on our favourite thing to touch on, Mark, which is set pieces. You know we love talking about them. I found a stat out this week because I've kind of got nothing better to do, and I like doing spreadsheets. I'm joking. Forest have conceded 39% of their goals this season, and that's just from set pieces. So 39% of Forest goals conceded have been from set pieces. It's the worst in the league in terms of conceded, and Forest the second worst in the league for attacking and scoring from set pieces. Awful record, absolutely awful record. And considering there's a set piece coach at the football club, it just begs the question why. And you know, I know we talk about it every week, Mark, but it really is something that Forest just have to try and sort out in the next six games.
Correct.
Nothing more to add.
I mean, I don't know what else say. Yeah. I mean, it's you absolutely doing the right thing by resurfacing those stats and the challenge that Forest seem to have had all season long in dead ball situations.
What do you think the reason for it is, Mark? Do you think it's more of a mentality thing, in your opinion?
Or I think that's a sense of That's a great shout. That's actually a really good shout, Max. And I haven't really heard too many people allude to that. People have talked about the set piece coach. They've talked about, you know, poor marking or formation or, you know, just all of the other technical and tactical things. But at this point, I think it could be a mentality thing. You know, having played the game a bit myself, I've been in teams that have struggled with aspects of the game. And the more you focus on it and the more it doesn't get better, the more freaked out you become. And it does become a real, you know, mental problem. It does become a barrier. And if it becomes a problem team-wide, then that can be crippling. We're not talking about, you know, the situation we had with the goalkeepers earlier in the year. You're like, wow, we just need somebody competent in the net who we can guarantee is going to stop, you know, most of the shots and not be liable for a howl or a game. And Matt Sowers rocks up and that was that. But this is something more systemic. And I think it must be impacting particularly the defensive players in the team. I don't know what the answer is, Max, other than perhaps introducing players who haven't featured so much. So the Willy Bollies and the you know, Musnikates of this world that maybe haven't been on the field when we've seen those issues defensively. But I don't think there is a short, sharp fix. I think Forest just need to be professional and do the best they can. At the other end of the field, I think quite simply, I'm not going to suggest this is a fix, but at the other end of the field, why we aren't looking at solutions beyond Morgan Gibbs-White, I don't know. Like, I'm quite sure there are other players on the team who can deliver quality free kicks into the box and give us an opportunity to score. And I'd like to see Nuno do more of that, not take the free kicks himself, but give those opportunities to others in the team. As much as I respect Morgan Gibbs-White and appreciate him as a Forest player, I don't believe he's a singular solution to what we do offensively from dead balls.
Yeah, I agree. And this comment certainly does as well from Ian. From an attacking perspective, I'd have Nico taking our set pieces. Yeah. Morgan Gibbs-White is ineffective on set pieces, particularly corners. And defensively, stop giving away needless free kicks would be a start. And he's spot on, really. You're right. You know, you talk about Ryan Yates in the last episode and how many fouls he gave away, 4 fouls in 5 minutes during a period of that Tottenham game. And there you go. That's almost 4 chances for Tottenham to exploit Forest's weakness, which, as all the teams in the Premier League will be well aware of, is Forest, you know, on set pieces and defending them. So
is Ian available next Friday?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Ian,
sleep in. Yeah. Can Mark have a lion and you come in? Brilliant comment. And he's got a very good point. And actually, it alludes me on to my next point about Ryan Yates and whether I saw a lot of debate on social media yesterday about whether Ryan Yates should play tomorrow. There was a lot of criticism towards him during and after the Tottenham game. Is he a player you'd kind of go still with the same or a very similar 11 tomorrow, Mark? You wouldn't change much and you'd still have Ryan Yates in there? Or particularly, would you bring Dominguez in or...
Yeah, I saw some of those comments too, Max, but I also saw fans making a really good observation that Ryan Yates is the definition, I think, of horses for courses, right? I don't think Ryan Yates is going to be your best option necessarily in certain games this season, but in others, he's made for it. And I think a game against Wolves tomorrow, he's made for it. So would I start him? I don't know. I mean, there are other really good midfielders to consider. We've seen very little of Dominguez in the last few games, and he's a player who impresses me. So whether Yates starts or not, I don't think that's going to be the reason Forest win or not. But I don't think anything happening against Tottenham discounts Yates from selection, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'd actually tend to disagree. I think maybe.
All right. Good.
Yeah, I think put Dominguez in tomorrow. I think just change. I think that would be the only change I'd make. I just think consistency. And I know we lost to Tottenham, but you know we had a brilliant win the few nights before against Fulham, and everyone was high on confidence with that. And I just feel like Forest need consistency, and particularly at home. Forest are going to really survive on the next few home games. Yes, we've got City at home, but you just never know. And the away games will be difficult. You look at the running, and you've got Everton to play, Sheffield United away, even Burnley on the last game, And Sheffield United might still have something to play for. I don't think they're kind of dead and buried yet. So they'll be looking, and I think they'll be looking to put as in fact Steve mentioned it on the last podcast, they'll be looking to put one over us, particularly given our record against them in the playoffs and all of that with Samba. Never forget that night. If only we could go back to those enjoyable moments, but hopefully maybe in the next few seasons. Just not in the playoffs, just in the Premier League. Right, finally, Mark, before we go and wrap it up, because I know you've probably got lots to do, school runs and trying to copy me with my dress sense again with the white T-shirt for tomorrow. I'll text you and tell you what I'm wearing tomorrow to the game if you want to kind of replicate it on the across the pond. Talk to us about just the game tomorrow. I know you said that you're confident with a Forest win. How do you see it going? And then I'll kind of jump in on the back of your answer.
Yeah. Well, I am confident. Again, you know, with Wolves, it's a bit of a coin toss. You never know quite what you're going to get. They're definitely very threatening going forward, and they have some really talented attacking players. I think they're susceptible at the back. They like Forest in a number of ways, in that they do try to stretch the field. They do try to use their width. They do try and engage their fullbacks, and their fullbacks have been a real bright spot for them this year. But I think Forest can get at them. And I think a lot of it, Max, comes down to how we start the game. You know, and much like set pieces, we've talked, it feels like ad nauseum about Forest's slow starts to matches. Their one win and five in the last five being the only game where they really came out of the traps hot. So how we start tomorrow is going to be very important. But I think maintaining discipline throughout, if Taiwo's there, using him at the right time. It's going to be interesting as well to see how Chris Wood responds. Yes, he did score against Tottenham, but we also know he leathered it against the woodwork from all of, you know, about 3 yards.
That's like one of my
out.
Phrases to end the podcast, Mark.
It was all the 3 yards out, and he just needed to tap it into what was essentially an empty net. So Sometimes those things can get in a striker's head, but he's on such a hot run of form right now. I would hope that's not the case. So I think, you know, regardless of who starts in midfield, regardless of who's selected at the back, Forest should be bullish about the game tomorrow. As you mentioned at the top of the pod, the City ground is going to be buzzing. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity, Max, as well for us to here's the interesting thing. I don't think we've lost momentum necessarily because of the Tottenham game, because I think most people went into that game thinking, if we steal a point, I'll take that, right? It was a very, very lofty aspiration to think we were going to rock up to Spurs and come away with all three. So, and the nature of the performance wasn't terrible. It kind of ebbed and flowed, but there was a stretch in that first half, a good 20 plus minutes in that first half, where Forest were very much on top. So I don't think the wheels came off. So Nuno's got to be happy about that. So if we can continue to carry the momentum of the things we did well into the Wolves game, get a hot start, then I think there's an opportunity for us to continue to kind of keep this ball rolling in a positive fashion.
Fingers crossed. Josh here says, I'm calling it now, we win 3-1 tomorrow. Alanga, Origi and Dominguez.
I like the Dominguez show.
Yeah, interesting.
I do like Dominguez. I mean, I don't think you and I are at odds in regards to the Dominguez-Yates debate. Because like I said, I like Yates. I would play Yates in certain games. I like Dominguez. I'd like to see more of him. So I would not be upset to see him start tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think Dominguez starts and then 20, 25 minutes to go, maybe bring Ryan Yates on, kind of steadies the ship, almost does what he does, and brings that leader energy, which Forest would need, you know, into the dire moments of a huge game, which it will be. I'm confident I will go Forest 2-1 tomorrow.
You just used an interesting question. And again, I've heard some conversation around this week, is the whole theme of leadership at Forest, and do we have leaders, and is there a lack of leadership? I don't necessarily see that. At least I don't think that's a key issue for why we're struggling this season. But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, just briefly, I know we're kind of coming up on time here, and I'm throwing a big hairy, it's my turn to throw a big hairy question at you that's tough to answer.
Do you know what? It's a question I've asked a lot on the podcast, and I actually would say there's probably been a lack of leadership, or maybe not leadership, more, you've touched on it before, cohesion, togetherness, potentially more togetherness, and just that something special that we've lost. And that probably does stem from Steve Cooper. Look, Nuno's never going to be Steve Cooper, and no one's ever going to be Steve Cooper. Forest fans are moving on. It's just a situation that happens in football, and sadly managers come and go. But for Forest, I just think that since his departure, there's not been that, not leadership particularly, but just togetherness and maybe just feel-good factor around the club. Saying that, you know, Nuno hasn't had it easy. The press have been on his back. The media have. The points deduction. Right. You watch one of his press conferences Anyway. And I just feel like, I'm scared to enter one of Nuno's press conferences, to be fair. Maybe next season if we stay up. So, yeah, do you know what, Mark? I actually don't think there's probably a lack of leadership. There's more a lack of togetherness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you've got Willie Bolly there, you've got Nia Carty, you've got Matt Sells, you've got Ryan Yates. It feels to me like there are leaders in that dressing room. I don't think that's necessarily the issue, but I think you're right. It is probably the cohesion piece and a little bit of a lack of direction. And that's to be expected in a season that's been so fraught with, you know, a multitude of different issues, right? It's not just been what's happening on the field. So,
yeah, and I also think that football players are professionals, and really any football player should act as a leader on the pitch, no matter age, talent, and Forest need to have leaders, and that comes from the players really, and they should take responsibility in terms of that, and standing up and taking leadership of the football club, particularly on the pitch. Yeah. Right, that was an interesting chat. I think that does us there. I'll be there at Forest tomorrow. Where will you be watching it, Mark?
Probably from this very couch.
That very couch, hoping that, you know, with a white T-shirt on, trying to replicate my dress sense, thinking, come on, Forrest, don't concede from a set piece.
Oh, to be young again, to be you again, Max.
You never know. You could, we could time travel. We could switch positions. In fact, Mark, I will happily take your place on the sofa in, what's the weather been like in America?
It's actually been gorgeous, although I just read this morning they were expecting a big snowstorm to come through here in the next few days. So it might not just be white T-shirts. It might be everything white here in the next 48 hours. So I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, keep me posted. It's sure to be a big atmosphere tomorrow as Forest go into these closing games of the season and hoping for a win. We will be back on Monday, particularly at a later time, though, for our main podcast. Sarah back with a Q&A as well next week. Me and Dave, fingers crossed, should be back on Friday. Sorry, Mark, you dropped to the bench. You might get a call up in the next few weeks. And fingers crossed, we'll be talking about a positive Forest week. If you do enjoy the podcast, drop us a like, share, and subscribe on YouTube. Drop us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you do enjoy. It really does help. Keep up to date with us on Twitter, @GaribaldiRed_. I think that's all the promo done. Come on, you Reds, for a Forest win tomorrow. From me and Mark in our white T-shirts, you Reds.